Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 184. Tom, top of the day to you.
184 is my gold card member at the comic book store.
Is it really?
Yep. I've been waiting for this number to roll around.
Wait, 184 means you're old school, right?
Yep.
Because there'd be people in the thousands by now.
Oh, yeah. It's up there and stuff.
So what do you get with your card?
Like 10% off.
That's good.
Yeah. You pay, I think it's $25 a year.
That's worth it, I think. Especially the amount that you do. Yeah.
In a few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
To your 184.
And every time they say, what's your number? I say 184 on a cop. So in a few weeks I get to do it properly, 187.
Yeah, okay. Oh, looking forward to it. Will I have like GTA San Andreas flashbacks?
Yeah.
I thought so. Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. As of today, berets are officially allowed back in our town and surrounds. This is thanks to our newly elected councillors going through old local laws and restrictions and realising some are either out of date, ridiculous, or ridiculously out of date. Originally, the ban was put in place after a group of beatniks from out of town arrived and proceeded to be a bad influence on the local youth of the day. They poemed, read and sold books, wore black and white stripes, and stood in a superior fashion. Watchersville was not having it and knew if berets weren't allowed to be worn, then they would have no power in the town. And it worked. Soon enough, hippies replaced the beatnikers, beatsters, beatnik people, and we all know how bell-bottoms were received by the establishment. So get out your black market beret and wear it out and about today, if you feel so inclined. The bison who have been hanging out in the grass section of the town square apparently are there because they can't read English. This explains why they've been stomping around with their mighty big hooves and messing everything up. They weren't rebelliously defying the sign saying do not walk on the grass. They simply didn't know what it meant. They also may not be aware of what signs are either. Mary Metherington has announced that she will be singing the national anthem at the big sporting game this weekend at the Billionaire Stadium. No one has asked her to, and she will only be doing it from her spot in the crowd, but thought we should all know anyway. We suspect she's hoping for an invite to get out into the middle of the field with a microphone and red carpet and perform her little heart out. But that hasn't happened yet, so instead she's got some rolled up art cardboard, a doormat and sass. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
I've watched Sweet Tooth.
Good, nice. I'm intending to watch it. I've been getting through some other backlog, yep. But it looks good.
Well, I'll give you my perception of it.
Wonderful.
And then you can take that grain of salt and do what you will with it.
I want to hear about the tone.
Yes, it's all about the tone. It actually is all about the tone with that one. I've watched a film called Percy versus Goliath that's coming out today in cinemas around Australia. So
is that Percy Jackson related?
No, it's not Percy Jackson. It's a Christopher Walken movie.
Wow. Thank you for setting that up.
Wow. I was trying to do the impersonation yesterday and you were in the area, but you were too far away for me to be like, come over here and do your impersonation.
Sure.
It was also not appropriate because we were working.
We were working.
But I was like, oh, I really want Tom to come over here and then I can be impressive vicariously through you.
Sure.
You know, like, I can't do it, but I've got a friend who can.
There you go.
Yeah. I've got a quiz for you about actors who have special skills.
Like fencing?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Tom, I'm very excited. We don't have any news about it, but I'm very excited about the onslaught of gaming news that we will have over this weekend.
I know you've been excited. We thought we'd have a bit for the show today, but we don't. That's all right. That's all right.
Sometimes stuff gets leaked.
Yeah.
And nothing of interest for us has been leaked.
Do you think that's because there's no live show this year? There's
probably.
No walk around, so people can't be, you know, see stands getting set up.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Tested.
There was no E3 last year.
No.
No, that's right. So this is like a almost kind of a big deal. Mm. Kind of like, I don't know. Let's get into the news.
All right, if we're talking about things that are cool that we want to see.
Yes.
Lego have announced they're doing Lego Con online on June 26th. They've never done a Lego Con before. It's going to have all these different master builders talking about things. They're going to reveal new sets that will be coming over the next 6 months or so. It just sounds like a mini nerdy Lego online thing. Lots of stuff from the Lego house in Denmark.
Oh, cool. I was wondering if maybe we might see a little cameo from Hamish Blake and Brickman. That'd be awesome.
It would not surprise me. Lego Masters US has started this week, and I was reading an interview with Will Arnett, and he went on at lengths about how he speaks with Hamish. And awesome. Gets Hamish's advice on how best to host the show.
Because Hamish is a brilliant
He's so good. Lego and the UK host. Version is good, but it's a lot more straight-laced and serious.
Do they have a couple of – which Lego Masters has more than one Brickman equivalent?
So the US one has two, Jamie and Amy.
Okay, that's the one I'm thinking about.
The UK one has Matthew, and other master builders pop up through there, but Matthew is like – very high up at actual Lego.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, the UK one is it's a little more serious in tone, and the Australian one, Hamish hosting it, nailed the tone, and that's what the Americans are going for. So when you watch the American version through the lens of Will Arnett playing Hamish, you can really see it.
Oh, I'm going to have to check out an episode because I think Hamish really – well, I think the whole production stepped up the Hamishness.
Yes.
By this season, season three?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think lockdown was a good thing for, you know, we saw him interrupting people's Zoom meetings yeah. and accidentally wandering into a defense meeting.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All sorts of stuff. So he probably had a lot more time to think, you know, come up with some crazy Lego Masters ideas. Because he's very invested in the show.
Just that some of the throwaway stuff that doesn't need to be there but is there.
Yep. That finale when they had all the different special effects, like, you know, we couldn't spend the money on getting people in, so let's spend it on some confetti and streamers.
Just, like when they were black and white for whole entire episode, when he was method acting as someone from the 1980s for the whole entire episode, he didn't need to, but man, it brought a lot to it.
Yep.
That guy's good.
It's good.
Got a lot of time.
There's that episode where he was cut in half and he stayed in half the box for about 4 hours.
That's right.
That's very committed.
Oh, gosh. Oh, so, Lego Con.
Yes, Lego Con, June 26th.
Okay, so this is the first one ever. It's going to be virtual. Do you think if this works out, which it will, like how could it not? Yeah. It's Lego, right? In the next year or two, we may start seeing a physical Lego Con?
Oh, look, there's already Lego conventions around and all this sort of stuff. Like we have, I think it's just called the Sydney Lego Show. I can't remember, but there's one in Blacktown. There's one there's all sorts of Lego conventions that happen around and stuff, but an actual branded one from them.
Where they release like big stuff.
Where you've got inside info and this sort of stuff. I could see them doing a physical one, but I love the fact that they're doing it online as their first one because it means it's not tied to a location where only some people can go to.
Yeah, good point.
This is way more
accessible.
This year's message is everyone is awesome. Nice. I don't know if you've seen that Pride set that they've got out at the moment with all the beautiful colours and stuff.
Yeah. Are you tempted to get it?
I've got it.
Oh, you got it. Awesome.
Yeah. Come on. June 1st was last week. I went and lined up early. Their messaging this year is everyone is awesome. And it's all, you know, they've always been about inclusivity, but that's very much their push at the moment. So doing an online thing where everyone has access, it's free.
Mm. Awesome. Cool. That's good. That's really cool. Speaking of cool, I'll be talking about Christina Ricci. I never remember how to spell her name, like pronounce it right, because it's got two C's in it. It's obviously an Italian name. I can never remember, is it Ch or is it K?
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday, yes. The child actor that has gone on to become a really super solid adult actor. No controversy that I can think of off the top of my head. Anyway, she is going to be in The Matrix 4. This was not actually properly announced. It was kind of just like put in a press kit and then released by Warner Brothers. I don't know who her character is or whatnot, but I'm kind of excited because it just means, when was it? A week or two ago we missed out on Keanu Day where we were going to have the two Keanu movies coming out, The Matrix 4 and John Wick 4.
Yes.
And now it's cool to know that they're still plowing ahead. Yeah.
I read an interview with Jessica Henwick, who was on Game of Thrones, and she was also Iron Fist. She was in Iron Fist on Netflix. She is going to be in Matrix 4, and she said that her deal was that she wanted to wear sunglasses, a leather jacket, and do wire work. And she said she got to two of her three wishes, and she trained for months. Now, she's already a very accomplished martial arts artist, so she's had to train in something different or something odd. That's cool.
All right, so if she only got two of the three.
Yeah.
Which one didn't she get?
I'm guessing leather jacket.
Oh, I was guessing sunglasses. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll never remember this, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Still hung up on who shot Mr. Burns? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Do you like dates?
Do you mean the dried fruit?
Yes.
Yes.
There's one called September. I don't have actual physical dates in September, but we know that Why the Last Man will be coming in September, but more excitedly for you and I, What We Do in the Shadows Season 3 will be spooking our way into our hearts in September, which so probably excited. Means that there might be a Halloween episode this year.
Knowing them, their Halloween episode will be the least Halloween
yep.
thing that you've ever witnessed.
Remember when they went to the Superb Owl party?
Yes. Jackie Daytona. Human man. That's amazing. Oh, I'm excited about that. Now, I know that Vikings was a very popular show. In fact, our friends from For Your Reference podcast love it and actually did a special. If you want to go listen, they did a special wrapping up the whole entire, you know, not just the last season, but the whole entire show. So they'll be pretty psyched to know that Vikings Valhalla is coming to Netflix. It's kind of a prequel series, and they release some behind the scenes footage, like some videos of Viking boats and castles. There were geese, which I thought was very interesting.
Do love a good goose, me.
I also saw that they had quite a lot of extras on set, you know, in battle scenes and whatnot, but all the crew had masks on, and I guess showing them indicated that even though we're in a pandemic, it's still full steam ahead with production, which is pretty cool. But what piqued my interest was that Pollyanna McIntosh is cast in it. So I'm going to assume that those Walking Dead movies are still way, way out in the distance. It's not going to happen anytime soon, because I don't even think Vikings Valhalla has a premiere date. So,
sure.
So that those Walking Dead movies, they may never happen.
They may never happen. I think it's down to when Andrew Lincoln wants to do them.
Yeah.
Valhalla is a strange name for a prequel. Because that sounds like it would be a sequel name, because Valhalla is where you go after you die.
Oh.
Yeah. Just putting it out.
Huh. There. Yes, you are so right. And now that's going to annoy me.
Yeah.
A lot.
Sorry, I wasn't going to say it, but I thought.
No, I think you should. We need to be aware of
Maybe that's part of it. Maybe the prequel is like the gods forming Valhalla.
Maybe.
I don't know. Probably not. Probably just someone was like, that's a good name. That's Viking-ish. People
that's
know that.
That's a Vikings fight.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Did you watch Jupiter's Legacy on Netflix?
No. Can you remind me what that is? I know the name.
It was Josh Duhamel.
Okay.
He was in it. Yeah. It was a superhero show only a few weeks ago.
Oh.
With Mark Millar. He wrote it. The guy who wrote Civil War.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So it was like a whole new set of sort of superhero-y gods.
Yes.
Like they weren't from a comic book, right?
They are from
a comic book.
But they're not
book?
From Marvel or DC.
Okay,
little. So Mark Millar has his own company called Millar World, and he wrote there's Jupiter's Legacy and other part. I can't remember what they're called. I didn't love the comics. Mark Millar is very hit or miss.
Okay.
And this story was like in the 30s or something, a team of explorers find an island and something happens to them and they all get superpowers. And then in flash forward to today, they are still like the Justice League, but they're all quite old and it's more following their children. And it's all to do with, it's a thing about child actors and living in the limelight and what happens if you're a social media star or this sort of stuff. How do you correlate that with the pressure of trying to live up to your parents?
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's been cancelled.
That's such a Netflix thing to do,
though.
It
is, but they did one season of it and they've cancelled it. However, They also used that cancellation to announce that they are working on Super Crooks, which is another Mark Miller series that I much preferred, and it is set in that same Jupiter's Legacy universe, and it's a bunch of the supervillains teaming up to do an Ocean's 11-style massive heist on a bank. Yes.
I'm more interested in that.
It is so much more solid.
Than going off to an island and getting superhero powers.
I don't know why they, like, I'll be honest, Jupiter's Legacy is probably the most boring of his stories. He's got a bunch of other ones that are great.
Do you wonder, do you think that maybe it's because it sets up the universe so that this next show.
I don't think so, because Supercrooks was written first.
Oh.
And it was retroactively added to the to this Jupiter's Legacy thing.
Because
he just wants to tie things together and stuff.
Yeah.
Look, he's got a story called Nemesis, which is what if Batman's parents were killed by cops and he instead became the Joker?
Oh, he's that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So all right.
That
all
story,
right.
He wrote Kick-Ass, which is what if someone tried to be Spider-Man in real life.
Yep.
There's Super Crooks, which as I say is Ocean's 11 with supervillains. Mm-hmm. Jupiter's Legacy, which is his take on a golden age thing. There's Huck, which is about a very simple-minded country giant boy who may or may not be a Superman-esque figure. And it's the town that keeps quiet about him being powerful and like the support network.
It's a community.
So he's got all these other great stories that really lend themselves to an anthology series.
Yeah.
Of like jump in and do one season of this comic and then jump into the next, things like that. I think that'd be a much better angle to take. That's just
so
me.
If you did enjoy Jupiter's Casino, whatever it was called, don't be too sad because better stuff is coming.
Correct. Correct. They Netflix paid Miller a lot of money. They're getting more stories out of him.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm happy with that. Mm. Look, speaking of things that are happening, Emma Roberts and Madeline Petch, I think is how her last name is pronounced. She's from Riverdale. She played Cheryl Blossom. Anyway, they've both been cast in a rom-com called About Fate. Here's the synopsis, done in a synopsis voice.
Sorry, I didn't mean to look at you and then look really tired, but it happened.
Apologies. It was good. It's about two people who believe in love but seem to never be able to find its true meaning. In a wild twist of events, fate puts each in each other's path on a stormy. What special night of the year is this?
Christmas.
Set? Oh, you close, it's New Year's Eve comedy. Chaos ensures. So that'll be fun, I'm sure. I don't know. It sounds like it's made for actual cinemas.
Get excited, aunties.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of thing like New Year's Day, you're like, oh, bit bored. Do you want to go, just go to the movies?
Where do you reckon the baseline is for that of if you were to make a graph of where major enjoyment and my two axes on the graph are major enjoyment of that film and number of cats owned.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd probably say
searching for the real meaning of love. Oh, I'd say
more
than that.
Cats.
More cats. Four to five.
Four to five.
At a minimum.
Okay. All right. I'm also thinking anybody that watched, I'm sure there was an Emma Roberts Netflix Christmas movie with an Australian actor in it.
I think you're right.
That's the audience.
Yeah, sure.
Watch that for in the lead up to Christmas. Go off and check this out.
It's hungover lonely people.
It's hungover people.
Hungover lonely women. Yeah. No man.
What, you're not going to?
Nah.
Okay, just checking.
Nah, I don't think so.
That's
sorry.
That's the most non-Tom watched movie of 2021.
It's definitely in contention. There's a few others that have popped up that I've been like, oh, no.
Okay.
But that's on the list.
It's right there. Okay. Yeah. But it's got that girl from Riverdale.
I don't watch Riverdale. I never have.
I watched the first season.
Yeah. I've watched The OC. I'm done with shows like that.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
It'll never hit that peak.
You're also, we're the wrong age.
We are.
Yeah.
We are. Look, I'm excited to hear that Code 8, you'll remember there was a movie that came out last year.
Yep.
It stars the Amell cousins. So Stephen Amell, Arrow, Robbie Amell from
Upload.
Yes. And they basically set up a Kickstarter and everything like that, and it ended up being the most successful independent Canadian film ever made.
Amazing.
They've announced that the sequel is a go. It is greenlit.
You enjoyed it, didn't you?
I loved it. I thought it was really, really well done, and yeah. just passion dripped from every moment of that film. Mm. You could see how much work had gone into it. So I appreciate they'd taken a little while before they announced that the second one would go. They'd clearly been working on it for a bit mm-hmm. And got a solid script. Not too much detail is announced, but Canada is putting more money into it, so it will be bigger than the first one.
All right. So if it's anything like Australia, and I think sometimes Canada is a bit like Australia and vice versa. If Canada itself is putting money into this, there's going to be some Canadian cameos involved. Oh, yeah. So let's just go down the list of people we can expect to see in this sequel.
Who wouldn't? So Ryan Reynolds, too big.
Too big. Tegan and Sarah, just about right.
Just about right. Yeah. Yeah.
Pamela Anderson. Nah, I don't think so. I don't think she's Canadian enough anymore.
She's not. What about Mike Myers as an authority figure?
Ooh. With his hair still hair curtain fringe?
Yes.
Yeah, he'd be in it.
Yeah.
I think so. I think maybe 15 years ago, too big.
Too big, too big.
Now, perfect.
Perfect.
Do you know who else I think is perfect?
Who's that?
Those twin brothers who do like home renovation shows on HGTV.
Oh, yeah, Property Brothers.
Yeah, perfect.
Sure.
They'll
one
be
of them,
there.
One of them could bring Zooey. I think he's dating Zooey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Drake, too big.
Drake, the rapper. Mm. Yeah, perfect. Put him in a wheelchair.
You're going to put him in. Okay, yeah.
Done.
He can pay homage to his Degrassi days.
I know this is cheeky of me, but I'm going to jump to my next news story.
What?
Because we're dealing with Canadians still.
Yes, well, my story is also Canadian, so this is
well, about, this is
all
it about one
linked.
Michael Myers?
Yes!
Well, why don't you tell the story?
Okay, do you know why I'm telling it? Because did you see who else is in it?
I did make a li- yes, I did. I had
this
to wait
is my
and look,
Jennifer
check the list.
Saunders
yes,
story.
There you go. Okay.
Okay, that's it. No, you go. No, I just want to say Jennifer
I've set
Saunders.
It up because I said Mike Myers there okay. And I thought, oh, look at that segue. And
Yep.
You do it.
All right, Mike Myers has a Netflix series.
Mm-hmm.
They're filming it now, I believe. Six-parter, so not a lot, but just enough. It's like the English kind of season. And it's called, what's it called?
The Pentaveret.
Pentaveret.
Do you know how many characters he's playing?
Seven.
Pentaveret. That's a lot.
What's it about?
It's a limited series he created about a secret society who've been working to influence world events since 1347. So this could be fantastic. It could be terrible. He hasn't, let's be honest, he hasn't done anything good in some time.
Mm-mm.
He's had a few cracks. However, this could be his Dr. Strangelove.
Well, who else is in there? You've got Keegan-Michael Key.
Yes.
Jennifer Saunders.
Yes.
Be interested to see
Ken
what she
Jeong.
Does. That's right. He's in it.
Debbie Mazur.
So there's people.
Yep. Lydia West, Richard McCabe.
Who's Richard McCabe again? Okay, great.
For the listener, I shrugged.
Yeah. I was like, do I know that name or not? But what I thought was interesting is he's playing a Canadian journalist that finds himself embroiled. Well, this is one of the characters, I should say. Embroiled in a mission to uncover that truth. I love that it's Canadian. So that's the one role where he's not going to do an accent then, right?
Sure. A bit similar to just himself.
Yeah.
We say that. He might be doing a Quebecian.
True. Thing. We don't know that.
We don't know. We just don't know.
What is Jennifer Saunders going to do? Because she's in England. Is she just going to film everything like Tig did in Army of the Dead?
Maybe it's that. Maybe she's only on Zoom.
Maybe.
See, I could see this being like not a military war room, but kind of like imagine an old explorers club.
Yes.
Of people sitting around. So this was a big, big, big side plot in Hellboy and BPRD of the secret society that secretly ran the world from behind the scenes.
I like it.
And this sort of stuff. And it was all occult. And, you know, it wasn't tech-based. It wasn't
Templar stuff.
Yes. It was never looking forward to the future to find solutions. It was always going back and finding out what happened with, you know, mythology was actually based on real things. How can we pull those sorts of stuff out? So if he's doing that as a version of Dr. Strangelove and it's him arguing himself over the best direction to take the world forward, that could be very good.
Do you think Eddie Murphy's going to get jealous?
Of the multiple characters?
Yeah.
Potentially. Potentially.
I'm going to watch this. I'm going to at least give it a crack. I'll probably watch all six because Jennifer Saunders.
I would like Eddie Murphy to do another Nutty Professor movie.
Me too.
I love those movies.
It's been long enough, right?
It'd be so inappropriate in today's culture.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, I mean, he did Coming to America too.
Yeah.
So he's not averse to...
money?
Yeah. Yep. Nothing else needs to be said about that. Yeah.
Clearly, he's done a lot of sequels. Daddy Daycare 2, Here We Go Again.
What's my favourite Eddie Murphy sequel? It's probably Shrek 2.
It's a very good call. Beverly Hills Cop 2 is very good.
I just can't remember. Their stories have merged into one for me. I should watch them again.
But I think Nutty Professor 2 might be my favourite sequel of his.
Yeah, okay. What happens in that one again?
Oh, more misadventures with the clumps.
Yeah, it's more family, right?
Shimma, shimma, shimma. Hercules, Hercules, Hercules.
Oh, I know what you're doing as soon as we finish recording. That's going to happen. Have you got any other stories?
I have one last one.
Okay.
Do you?
Nah.
All right. So you remember the guys that made the toys that made us, who also did the movies that made us?
Yeah, they're not bad. Like, obviously there are some shows that you're like, I don't really know that movie. I don't really know that toy. May skip it.
I don't love the narrator. He's not got the he's a bit flippant. Anyway, the people that produced it, I don't know if it's the same narrator or what. I don't think it may be. They have teamed up with The Rock for Disney Plus. There's a show launching July 16 on Disney Plus called Behind the Attraction.
Are you sure they didn't just say, can we just go and ask Tom some questions about what he would like to watch?
I know. It's either 8 or 10 episodes, something like that, and each episode's focused on one Disneyland attraction. Well, they're not all Disneyland attractions. One of them is about the Disneyland Hotel, and I believe one of them is, and if it's not, it needs to be, monorails and trains and things like that. First episode is Jungle Cruise, which is the best thing they could start with.
Yeah, that's solid.
And it comes out the exact same day as Jungle Cruise, the movie.
They really Synergy. Thought about this. Yeah, exactly. Do you think that, I mean, just based on what you're saying, it looks like there's legs for this to have another season as well.
Oh, this could go
on. Because
you've
got the cruises.
Yep.
You've got attractions that don't exist anymore, like really old school stuff that maybe people either have never seen.
And you've got difference between the parks around the world.
Yeah.
You've got ones, you could do a whole episode just on the characters, meet and greets. There's a lot that could go on with this.
Yeah. So what's the what's the Rock's part? Is he just producing?
I'm not sure. Look, he's executive producing.
Okay.
Which could just mean that he helped push get it made, but he could be narrating the first episode if it's about Jungle Cruise, or at least doing talking head stuff about it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
When did you say? Sometime in July.
July 16th.
Okay. Can you remind me?
Yeah.
Oh, it feels like a lifetime away, but it's not.
It's
like a month.
It's a couple of weeks after we will get to see, well, maybe a week after we get to see Black Widow. Loki kicks off
very soon. There's a lot of talk about it. Oh, yeah.
Some people are like, this show's like Twin Peaks or X-Files, or like some people have been saying it's kind of like Terry Gilliam's Brazil. Which is very out there and strange.
Right. Well, we knew it was going to be weird, but this sounds like it's next level.
Yeah.
What I think is great, WandaVision.
Yes.
Super weird. People who didn't get the TV references at first were like, I don't know what's going on. I'm so angry. And I was like, haha, I know all of them. And then you have Captain America and the Winter Soldier, and everyone's like, wow, this is so different. And there were people like, this is not like WandaVision. I'm so angry. And then Loki's going to come in and it's going to be completely different to both of them. And I'm going to enjoy reading Twitter as people complain about the fact that it is not what it was ever intended to be.
Yep.
I'm going to love it.
And then the flip of all of that is no one's complaining about MODOK because it's so good.
It's
and
perfect.
So weird. Everyone's just like, no, this is what MODOK should be. This is, yes.
On point.
More please, you've done this correctly.
So Loki, it's going into, we don't really know too much too, but it's like parallel universes, is that?
So he is a variant.
That's
because he is from an alternate timeline that they went and stole a stone from, and he stole the stone there.
Yeah.
So the Loki we have followed and had the redemptive arc is dead.
Yep.
This is someone who is still back in the evil times.
Still a little bastard.
Yep. And I think this is him trying to weasel his way into keeping existing and not being nullified. Or if like, no, give me a job. I'll work for, you know, I'll make sure the timeline stays intact. Or
yeah, cool. I just love how different they've all been. And if they can continue to be this different,
yep,
they're going to keep me interested,
yep,
keep my attention. Should we get into some watching suggestions?
Let's do it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I watched Sweet Tooth. Well, I say I watched it. I've watched 2.5 episodes.
It's a good start. It's one that I don't want to binge. And I know I'm going to be tempted to binge, but I feel like if I do an episode or two a day, when I do start, just because it looks like it's lovely.
Very pretty.
Is it lovely? Is it
also, it's so there, Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what we were talking about when we saw the trailer. It's got that Neil Gaiman feel to it and it continues to whilst having, because you've read.
Yes.
So you know the story. It still has that quite, those real sort of dark black moments.
Yeah.
Well, the whole overarching thing is quite dark, but yeah. So you still got that mixed in with this adventure with kids and it's just like, where are we going? But I don't care. I'm going. Like if you like Stranger Things, if you like anything Neil Gaiman, if you like anything post-apocalyptic, this is the show that you should be watching.
Yeah. It's a kid adventure show through a fucking harrowing world.
Yep. That is a perfect synopsis in a sentence. Yeah. I'm going to watch the whole thing. It's lovely.
Awesome.
Really lovely.
That's all I need to know, that it's lovely. I asked you before, tell me about the tone.
Yep.
And it's just, that's what I was hoping, because the comic is, it's lovely. It's a horrible world, but he is, beacon of hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you've read it. So he's the older of this sort of child.
Yeah.
So in the journey so far, I don't know, but in the journey, I assume we learn a little bit more.
Yep.
So that's cool. I'm happy. I'm very happy with that.
Nice.
What have you been watching?
Oh, the one I'm going to wax lyrical about. I'm so excited. I told you about it the other day and I know you're going to watch it.
Yeah.
If you haven't, listeners, even before I tell you anything more, if you haven't watched this yet, go and watch it right now. Bo Burnham's Inside.
Now,
I'll give you a bit of setup.
Yeah, because you set it up for me.
Yeah.
And as you were describing it, I was like, this has got me so interested.
So Bo Burnham sprung to fame in about 2005, 2006, one of the very earliest YouTube viral hits, recording silly songs or funny songs. You know, he's a fantastic pianist and you know, really good at writing comedy music. Think Tim Minchin.
Yep.
Very brainy.
Bit of Bill Bailey, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit of that, but like very brainy stuff, but can also be quite silly.
Yeah.
And, you know, then moved into stand-up and stuff and did really, really well in stand-up, very big name in the States. And then in about 2015, 16, somewhere around there, he pretty much walked away from it all. Didn't perform live anymore, wouldn't do it. Didn't really talk about why. A couple of years later, had directed a movie that came out, and then he was in Promising Young Woman. The movie that did, you know, was nominated for Oscars and stuff this year. He was in that. Anyway, during lockdown, so he talks about it in the special, but he basically locks himself in a tiny room out the back of the house, or it's a granny flat or something like that, and he says, "I'm going to make a special," which is basically, a special means an hour of comedy.
Yeah.
He's going to make a special by himself as long as it takes. And let's see what happens locked in this place. And, you know, he's directed a film, so he's got an idea on editing, but he learns how to self-edit rather than sit there and work with an editor, learns how to do that, learns how to film himself at all times. He has no camera crew, no one, absolutely no one assisting. He doesn't shave.
Is it film? Okay. Well, that.
And it is.
I'm just getting Will Fort, like Last Man on Earth stuff.
Yeah, you would know.
Okay.
It's an hour and a half.
Yep.
And you will watch someone descend into madness. And there's parts where he's clearly playing mad and there are parts where he is clearly going insane.
Okay, so these parts where he's playing mad, where he's not really.
Yes.
Are they earlier in?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they get referenced later. There are moments where in the start where he'll make a joke about how this won't take too long, and then for an eighth of a second there's – a frame of how he looks in 9 months flickers in, scowling at him. And just like, there's so much deep, like I've gone back and watched it again already because there's so much, there's stuff hidden in the background. There's whiteboards filled with what's acceptable in comedy and like him trying to determine what will get you cancelled. And it's chicken scrawl over this. But if you actually freeze frame, go in and look at it, it's really, really intelligent stuff.
Yeah, right. Wow.
But the songs are fantastic. And he makes music videos that looks like a $1 million music video. You know, at one point it's a disco-y type song and he's singing it and he's almost in darkness and there's a small spotlight on him. And then he just tilts his head back and you can see that he strapped a small light to his head and there's a disco ball on the roof.
Oh,
and he
keeps
singing and it turns into a disco party or just like these brilliant little. The dude changed the game. I've never seen someone achieve this much themselves on a shoestring budget, you know, just showing what creativity can be. And I've read a lot of reviews of people like, holy shit, this is the best thing that came out of the pandemic. This is, you know, this is the peak of creativity of what one person could achieve. So someone went as far as to say that Shakespeare wrote some of his greatest works during the Great Plague. Back in the day.
Oh, okay.
This might end up being one of the things that we reflect on being a snapshot of that time.
That's really cool.
Because it's transcendent. Like it's comedy, but there is he enunciates and he just nails how you felt last year. So, and some of this year, but like just completely in ways that I couldn't put words to of that.
Yeah, right.
That ennui that you felt of just
yep.
Unsettled all the time.
Yep.
He manages to clearly, you know, just nail what it felt like and to be, you know, he turns 30 by himself, sitting in a room at midnight with the clock next to him.
Filming himself.
Watching it. And he's just like, I thought I'd have this done, the special finish by my 30th birthday. It's been 5 months.
Yeah.
And then another flick comes in of a year. And like, and then he gets to the end of things and he doesn't want it to end because real life has to start again.
Mm.
And this like.
Yeah, I feel that. I understand.
It just goes through, I don't know. Oh boy, oh boy. This thing is.
That I'm intrigued to watch this because I think, like you said that he enunciated things that you had never been able to put into words. But I also think that there's probably stuff in there that I haven't even thought about. So when he says it, I'll go, oh, I felt that.
Yep.
But I wasn't aware that I'd felt that. And particularly that bit of opening the door and going and having to do normal stuff again, I felt that.
Yep. And he just, I don't want to say any more about that segment because there's a lot more to that. Yeah, I don't know if we've ever seen comedy done in this way of, you know, there's YouTube performers and stuff like that. That's all good. And he mocks, like he parodies them throughout. He does one short song and then does a reaction video to the song. He does his own reaction video to his own song, this sort of stuff.
What's it called again?
Inside. Bo Burnham is his name.
Okay.
So his proper name is Robert, but
yeah,
Bo Burnham.
Inside.
He's nearly 7 foot in real life, and like when it starts, you watch him walk into a room that he's clearly too big for, and
to show that
he's
claustrophobic.
Yeah,
claustrophobiaing himself.
Yes.
Yes.
And oh my God, he spends so much time nude.
Oh really? Did you?
This is what I mean. Like inhibitions,
straight out that tiny door.
Just go somewhere. He's not doing this for an audience.
Yeah, right.
The audience is only himself and that camera, and so it strips away this whole thing that normally happens with comedy of waiting for the applause, waiting for the reaction. And
there's no reaction. There's no applause. There's no one there.
There's one of the songs is about, you know, is comedy even comedy without someone laughing in the background? Otherwise, you're just telling stories.
Mm.
And, yeah, this fear that strips away from him because he used to have panic attacks. That's why he walked away from performing. Finding this different thing where inhibition by about month four is no longer a concern.
Huh.
It's just gone.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he's no one will ever see this. He's Did just he making this.
Stockholm syndrome himself?
I think so. I'm really struggling to just watch this.
Yeah,
thing.
I'm going
Once you
to.
Do, I want to talk about it with you.
Yeah.
I'm telling everyone that works here that that is required viewing.
Yeah.
It's this year's Nanette.
Yeah, okay.
This is it. Anything else, I don't know what else could knock this off the perch for like, holy shit, that's my best thing I'll watch this year.
I'm excited to watch it. Glad there's a long weekend coming for us.
It wouldn't surprise me if you watch it and it sticks with you and then the next day you're like, I need to hear some of those jams again.
Because
the songs are like bangers.
Yeah, right.
They're not – like there's a bit of acoustic stuff, but mm-hmm. a lot of it's like dance floor.
He's been really busy, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Interesting.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
I watched a movie called Percy versus Goliath. It's out today in cinemas in Australia, and it's about a Canadian farmer. He grows canola plants. He grows them. He sells his crops, gets money for it, and then suddenly he's got a really big corporation breathing down his neck because he's got unauthorized seeds that are genetically copyrighted, patented, I should say, to them. So
he's not
him.
A canola stockholder.
I know, right? Based on a true story, I think late 90s this happened to a guy and
It sounds like he's in trouble for using magic beans. Is that what's happening?
It kind
here?
Of is. Like it was basically him. It's basically him trying to tell
them.
I just want to
grow these crops.
Christopher Walken is.
I got to plow.
It's Percy.
Plow.
Zach Braff is in it, right?
Is he?
I had to do a double take because I went.
Is that Dax Shepard?
Who is that guy? And I love when things are based on. I love the difference between things that are based on real life and things that, you know, like movies or films or storylines.
You get the old inspired by.
Exactly. Because I'm like, why is he limping and why is nobody talking about it? And it's because the real life character limped, where if that was a made up story, there'd be a story, like there'd be a plot line to that that it would be explained. He's really different. Christina Ricci's in it. Ricky Ritchie. And
you just sounded like a 80s DJ having a stroke.
Well, I was going to say it is set in the 80s, but it's not set in the 90s. I really enjoyed this movie and it made me want to go and read up on the true story and make me angry about the fact that there are these big corporations that are genetically modifying, you know, seeds and grains and crops. And then if any of that blows anywhere near someone's farm and then they start growing it, they get into trouble.
Boo.
Boo.
That does sound like the story of it feels like a 90s Grisham movie. That sounds like the sort of thing that a young Matt Damon would have defended in court.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tom Cruise.
Sure. Oh, you're going even earlier.
Yeah, way earlier. Did Julia Roberts ever do it? Was she in Pelican Brief? Was that a Grisham move?
Whoa, might have been.
We'll never know. There's literally no way of finding out.
No.
Percy versus Goliath, go and check it out today. It'd be a nice one to go to the movies and watch, I reckon.
Treat yourself.
Yeah, go treat yourself. Go to the movies.
Go on, get out of here.
It's nice. Wait till we finish. Actually... You can pause and
we'll wait.
Do whatever you want.
Hang on a second. Okay.
And you're back.
Good.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Tom, what else have you been watching?
I watched Fear the Walking Dead, and
did
as you,
you
know, I've been pretty over it lately. And this week was all right.
It was okay.
It wasn't. You know,
it was fine.
It was in a submarine. It was nice to be inside in some claustrophobic thing. There were still
confined
some
confined areas.
Stupid, dumb decisions made by people.
Yes, I know exactly who you're talking about, and that annoyed me a lot as well. Just Alicia being chosen as the last woman on Earth is annoying.
I will say, John Glover, who is playing, I believe his name is Teddy, the cult leader, he's nailing it pretty well.
Oh, because he's charming in a non-confrontational, aggressive alpha male way. Like he's not alpha male at all.
No, and that's never who he plays. See, he was Lionel Luthor, Lex Luthor's dad on Smallville for right. many, many years. He was very good there. You might also remember him as the smarmy executive from Gremlins 2.
Oh, geez.
Yes. So that's his style, where I know him best from playing real big.
Mm.
So seeing him play, like, even though the character's big, he's playing it quite restrained.
He's very restrained in this. Like, we got the flashback. We know he's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
But he is playing it. His character truly believes what he's doing
yeah.
is the right thing for the world, for Earth.
Which is weird. Yeah. So there's a missile in the air with 10 nuclear warheads potentially about to drop somewhere.
Yep.
And the episode ended.
Yep.
And then let them go.
I think next week is the finale, I think.
It better be.
I think it is.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
There was a week break and then two more episodes.
Yeah, so we get that. Then what? World Beyond
must be at some point. Yeah.
Although it's not, they're on two separate things now, aren't they? Like World Beyond's on Amazon, so they can kind of
sure.
play whenever they want to.
But it doesn't kick off at the end of the season or anything.
No.
I think we get a bit of a zombie break.
Yeah, we'll have a bit of a break. A perfect time to Sweet Tooth.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, watch things I want to watch.
Mm. So what did you like about it?
I think it's better to say what didn't I hate. Which the few episodes before that, I hated most
yep.
things.
Yep.
That dream episode still leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Hmm.
I don't know. I can't even tell you what I liked more about this one than others. It was just more tolerable. There was some action.
What I liked about it was I like the fact that there's a new threat that would also cause the end of the world.
Yeah.
So you've got an apocalypse.
Some stakes.
And an impending apocalypse. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's nice to take it up a notch
mm.
rather than just, oh, will someone be picked off randomly this season?
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine if they used this to do a shock finale, like series finale.
Oh,
Scorch Earth.
And then they're like, yeah, and this is why the movies aren't coming out.
Yeah, and then maybe when the final season of Walking Dead happens, the last episode of that.
It's just them getting blown up.
Yeah, it's someone looking up and seeing a warhead coming down.
Perfect. And Alicia's still in the hole going, I'm not going to make it.
No, this bunker's not going to work, guys.
It's not working. I've got not enough food. I don't have the keys.
And maybe then Madison will finally show up to save her.
Hi, guys. Where are you all?
Yep.
Hello?
Mm.
So we watched it and well done for restraining yourself.
Thanks.
With all the anger.
Hey, I'm going to bring it back with something cheerful. Don't need to go into a full dive in, but you know I love my Legends of Tomorrow. This week, it was we were following Astra, who's a new she was a young girl who was trapped in hell for many years and grew up there, and she's now part of the team.
Mm.
So she's not very well adjusted. There's an episode following her, and she's attempting to learn some dark magic in order to get power here on Earth, and accidentally gets the world turned into a Disney princess animated thing.
That's fun.
And then there's like 10 or 15 minutes of singing musical.
Is it kind of like when Mary Poppins goes?
No,
or is it
like it looks like Princess and the Frog or
okay.
Emperor's New Groove, late 90s Disney, and it's really bang on. It was great.
There is no other show on television where you could say that, and just go, oh yeah, that sounds cool. Yeah.
And the rest of the legends who are trying to help, she doesn't want their help, so she turns one of them into a block of cheese, another one into a fork, one into a candelabra.
Oh, where did that come from?
Yeah, yeah.
And one of them is Jessica Lange. Actually, I did watch something. I watched an episode and a half of Murder, She Wrote before I went. I've just watched an episode of Murder, She Wrote. I love how involved she gets in everything.
She is a busybody.
Like, she just will walk into the police station and go, excuse me, can you please explain all of what you've got so far, please?
Yeah. Sorry, this crime's not being solved quick enough. I'm here to take over.
Yeah, she's got some balls, man.
Lansbury, get it done.
Yeah. Do you want to have a quiz?
Oh, can I please?
This quiz is called Hidden Talents. So these are actors who all have hidden talents. Whether you know them or not won't matter because I'll slowly give you clues. But I reckon you'll know a few of them.
All right.
Yeah. Let's start. I didn't know this one. Let's start with Mark Ruffalo.
What's Mark Ruffalo's thing? Bloody spilling the beans.
It's like a bicycle.
A unicycle?
He can unicycle.
Of course he can. Has he played a clown before?
I wonder if it was for one of those rom-coms that he did for a while.
Yeah, you're right.
Like that's his quirky thing.
Charming.
That, yeah, yeah. Like,
comes in juggling in that.
Yeah,
in the
exactly. Yeah. I might have been for that one. This one I reckon you'll get. Steve Martin. What's his talent? Not that hidden.
Banjo or magic?
Banjo.
Yeah.
Is what I had. He's really cool to listen to.
Yeah, his stuff is great.
Really good.
His career started working in the magic store in Disneyland. He would perform card magic for people in there and it boosted his confidence a lot.
I like him.
Yeah. I got time for Steve Martin.
Me too.
It's very interesting in the 70s when all the comedians were going counterculture and looking more like the layperson. He bought a white suit and went the other direction. Played banjo and did, yeah.
So did he do the Jerk movie after he was on SNL? He must have.
Yes.
Like he had to have had SNL fame to have the Jerk.
Yes.
Mm. Gina Davis. I forgot about this one. Think.
Spelling Bee.
No. Think Arrow.
Archery.
So much so that in 1999.
Oh, yeah. She was in the Olympics, wasn't she?
Yeah. Almost got in. She was in, you know, she was She was in the semifinals to get into the American team.
Oh, so she was in a league of her own.
She really, really was. If she'd got...
Tell him what I'm doing.
He's holding his beverage up in the air because he's just made...
I'm looking around at the bar. Yep. Here you go. There's the joke. Here you go. Run. Drinks on me.
If she'd gotten in, she would have been in the Sydney Olympics.
Good old Sydney Limp.
The winner is Sydney. Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan. Maybe you shouldn't be living here. Apologies. That's for my Adam and Joe listeners.
I don't know if I've ever seen him do this trick. Think circus. Think hot. Hot.
Is hot. He a fire breather?
It's a fire breather.
I don't think he'd be doing it at the moment because he's got a big bushy beard.
That would be very serious and dangerous. But, yeah, apparently he even joined a circus at one point. Did not know that. We're learning things today.
It is. Oh, Fierce Pierce coming through the flames.
Did you ever see that movie that he was in about Eurovision with Will Ferrell and...
I didn't watch it. I meant to.
It's really funny. Like, yeah. It's better than you think it's going to be.
That's what I heard. It got nominated for an Oscar.
Like, you
for
can...
For the song.
Well, yeah. But you can tell that Will Ferrell is... That he took it seriously.
Sure.
To committed. The point where... It's good. You know how sometimes people take it too seriously and then you've ruined it?
Yeah.
He's taking it seriously because he's passionate about it.
Awesome.
Let's have a look at an easy one for you, and I picked this one so that you could say the answer in 3 seconds. Neil Patrick Harris.
Magic.
Yes. He won an award, didn't he, at one point? He did. It was the Tannen's Magic Lewis Award in 2006.
He... is the boss of the Magic Castle, which is the premier magic location in the world.
Have you ever been there?
No.
What you is it invite only?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yes. I would love to go there. Anyone's listening would like to take me there. Sean Farquhar, take me to the bloody magic club.
Did you say Farquhar?
His name is Sean Farquhar, yeah. Not related to Farquaad from, or what's his name from Shrek? Lord Farquaad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there was a Farquhar in the Wonder Years as well.
There might be.
I don't think so.
But yeah.
Maybe different people.
Fantastic magician. Anyway, I would love to go there. Neil Patrick Harris, let me in.
Yeah, get him
we
to invite you.
We would be best
the
friends.
Boss.
We'd be best friends.
Yeah, I reckon you two would get on really well.
We'd be best friends.
There's definite.
He loves Lego. He loves magic.
Do you know the thing he loves that you don't? Musicals.
Yeah, but I'd put up with him for
okay.
Neil.
Yeah, fair enough.
What do you want
That's
to go?
That's what friendship's about.
All right, let's go and see fucking Chicago.
And all that jazz. Final one, low-hanging fruit, but one to the side. Okay,
Lindsay Lohan.
No. Tom Cruise.
Yes.
We know
Zulu.
That,
Xenu.
He can speak
Xenu.
Oh, I feel like he can speak Zulu.
Xenu.
No, he is like Harrison Ford and John Travolta, not Scientology bit.
Are flying.
But what did he learn to fly for the
helicopter?
Yes.
With stunts.
That bloke's so committed.
Yeah.
Like, he's very Tom Cruise about a lot of things, but you can't say he's not committed.
Hey, I've got to put a conspiracy theory out there that I quite like.
Yes.
It's not to do with Tom Cruise.
Okay.
But so Tom Cruise filming in space. If he hasn't done it yet, it's going to be happening soon or whatever, right? Right. Yeah. That's to the side.
Yeah.
So space travel is becoming a thing.
Yes.
We
know
this.
Yes.
Bezos. Jeffrey Bezos. He's announced that he's going to space next month, right?
Why wouldn't you? You finish up at Amazon, you go out to space for a bit.
See, that's the thing. I think he's going to fake his death.
Really?
I think he's going to fake his death and live on an island because he's left Amazon. He's got rid of all of his ties and he's about to go on a very potentially dangerous world force trip.
All right.
He'd be a very good...
I see this conspiracy.
You could buy you could buy someone else's teeth on Amazon for the body.
He could.
Charred remains.
And he wouldn't, because he'd have Amazon Prime, so there'd be no delivery. But what do you reckon? Yeah. He goes to a secret island where he gets superhero powers, and then what was the rest of Jupiter's?
Just fucking be hassled for 60 years.
Earth. He probably wouldn't do that.
I don't think he'd do it.
He wouldn't do it.
But maybe. Maybe there's Nazis on that island that he's going to fight with a hat.
Okay.
No, like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, of course. What if
he
ends up going crazy like Marlon Brando in that movie where he went crazy?
Do you mean Apocalypse Now?
Yes.
Or Island of Dr.
I think
Moreau?
I'm getting both of them mixed up.
They both apply.
Yeah.
I could see him going, oh, Dr. Island, Island of Dr. Moreau, fucking stitching animals together and shit.
Yeah, he'd do that.
Jeffrey Bezos, what have you done? Well, I hope this chat doesn't get us unlisted from Amazon. Are we on Amazon? Probably not.
I can't remember. Maybe. I don't think. I don't remember. We're on other stuff.
Sorry, that was a really weird detour of a thing, but I read about Bezos' trip and things.
And you were like, hang on.
I'm like, this.
Are you gonna go throw that on Reddit? Because that could get out of hand.
Nah.
Just leave it.
Just leave it.
As is. Okay.
People will chat. No one's going to.
Yeah. 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 But you've put it out there.
If it happens.
Then.
You heard it first.
Yes, that's right.
And then maybe there can be a show on Discovery Plus or something called Finding Bezos.
Because it wouldn't be on Amazon.
No.
They'd sever ties. Like that. Yeah. Tom, thank you very much. And on that note.
Eh? I feel I've done that before.
Done that, mate.
Let's
have another one.
Give me a second just to...
Okay. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And if you do have any quiz ideas, let us know. thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Is that... Do you need... Are you right? Tom, thank you very much.